All right, we're going to go into 2 Timothy now and look through the book. Not all in one sitting. Probably 20, 25 minutes here. But let's start with 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. Right at the beginning, Paul says, he's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. An apostle is a sent out one, and that differs from a missionary. They're a sent one. The implication I get from that is they're sent out to a particular place, to a particular... Well, like Paul was sent out to Gentiles that would provoke Israel to jealousy and save some of them. And then later, Paul was sent out to all men. But that's the nature of an apostle, as being a sent out one rather than just sent with a new message or a new smile or something. you can be sent to the store. Sent out one. Paul is a unique apostle in that he's the only one that was declared by Christ to be the apostle of the Gentiles. He was sent out to build the body of Christ, to preach the word, and that can be said either in either way. Paul was also sent to teach the body of Christ to be preaching the word, to be passing it on, in other words. Let's go to the second verse. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So Paul starts right off with encouragement, encouraging Timothy. It says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also, in other words, carrying over the verb dwells in thee also. So faith in God had been passed on to Lois by someone. They apparently either had the scriptures or obtained them or heard them in the synagogue. We know that the synagogue leaders were against believing that Jesus was the Christ, but it says that Lois back there, what would it be, 40, 60 years earlier, the grandmother had faith and then passed it on to Eunice. It's not like a football that you pass on. It takes years of displaying grace in front of them. Grace because God is gracious. Grace doesn't work just because we try to give in and it's when Christ is in you and Christ is the grace of God. So, Acts 16, Paul, we're not going there, but Paul found Timothy there. Timothy was Eunice's son, and Eunice had passed on that faith, the need for faith, the reason for faith. Timothy had faith by that time. So let's go on to verse 6, 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, he's going to have an effect. He's going to put his hands on the situation that Lois had had taught Eunice to have faith in God. Eunice had taught Timothy to have faith in God, and now Paul is going to teach Timothy going further. He's got more to teach, more knowledge, more a further gospel than those Jews had had, Eunice, Lois, Eunice, and Timothy before Paul got there. They just knew the gospel of the kingdom at first. Well, the law and the prophets, I don't know whether they knew the, and I said it was Acts 16, didn't I? I'm not sure if that's right. That may be right. But they needed to know the gospel of God. I don't know if they had known it yet or not. I know in Philippi they did, because they had been kicked out of the synagogue. You hear some people say, well, they didn't have a synagogue in Philippi, but Acts 16:12 says that was the major city in that part of Macedonia. And Peter or James, one of them in Acts 15, says that the law is read every Sabbath in every city. So we know that there was a synagogue there. They just weren't welcome in it because they had heard and believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ. So Paul's in that line of passing on to Timothy the faith in God. And we need to watch the pronouns there. What's it say? Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So he's going to further that faith, and, well, not the faith, but the encouragement and the reason to have faith, the exhortation to trust. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but, and here it's understood, but God hath given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So it doesn't sound like a recruitment officer. Oh, it'll be fine. Paul is telling him there's going to be afflictions of the gospel coming with me on the tour. The testimony of our Lord is the passing on of the faith that Paul is sent out to do, propagating. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us, in other words, Paul too, people, called Timothy, Paul, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's talking about the mystery, not the prophesied works, prophesied doctrine. It's talking about the mystery. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. But that holy calling, it's talking about, but it's is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So twice now this is the first of them, in 2 Timothy, there's two times that Paul uses the appearing or his appearing to refer to Jesus Christ's appearing to Paul on the road to Damascus. And the other use is in chapter 4, verse 8 in 2 Timothy. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And again, that's love it that he came and gave us the gospel of grace and died for our sins, included us, not just Israel. So it's not talking about appearing to take us up in the clouds. In other words, it's his appearing to Paul with this new pattern of salvation, the mystery of Christ. You can't love something that hasn't happened yet. You can hope for it. If you love his appearing, it's an appearing that has already occurred. It occurred in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. Love his appearing. 2 Timothy 1:10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. So it's still appointed unto man once to die. Also, the second death is yet future. So what death was abolished? We have to look for the qualifier that Paul uses about abolishing death. The qualifier is the last three words in the verse, 2 Timothy 1:10, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Believers in Paul's gospel will be raised to life, not raised to a second death. Excuse me just a minute. So, let's go on verse 11. Disbelievers, just another thought on this, disbelievers in Paul's gospel, I don't know whether to call them non-believers, disbelievers, unbelievers, but the ones that don't believe Paul's gospel will be raised to that second death. Through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, death has been abolished. For the believers, through the gospel, not for other people than the gospel believers, though. So he goes on in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. Preach. Pointedly getting that word out and to fix the need that people have. That's the remedy. A preacher and an apostle, one sent out with authority, with the need to spread that message. A preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul's referring to his missionary type or apostolic type sending out to preach and to teach the Gentiles, being an apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle of the Gentiles. And there were other apostles that were going along too. This is not Paul's unique apostleship that was to reveal the mystery, to write inspired scriptures, and to care for all the churches. That was his unique apostleship. But regarding that unique apostleship of Paul, he says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. That's singular. The is singular. I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Verse 12, 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Suffering. That cross references to Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And then going on to verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I like that verse because it doesn't say, I know of whom I've believed, or I know about whom I've believed. It says, I know whom I believe. He knows him. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So he says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, for I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, he's not talking about for salvation. Paul didn't earn anything and have Christ keep track of the things good works he'd done against the day of judgment or something. No, that's not what he's saying here. I mean, people, because of because of the blindness that Satan puts in the world today, we tend to have a preconceived idea that, you know, we got to be better. God wants good people, we think, you know. Paul said, I was the chief of the sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So he says, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, that follows what he said before up there earlier. Let me find where it is. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. So that's, he's committing that to Christ. It's not a matter of salvation. He's saved. It's a matter of service. He's going out obeying the command to be the apostle, the sent out one from Christ to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world, actually. Israel had already fallen. They were considered Gentiles or uncircumcision in Romans 2:25. So, and going on, let me just read, to follow that up, Romans 4:24-25, about salvation. God had, in verse 3, God had promised Abraham, when Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, or credited, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And then you get down to verse 24, but it wasn't, in other words, 22 or 23 says something about it wasn't for Abraham only, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if, there's the condition, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. That's the same as Christ died for our sins. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So, going on, 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And I believe that means, as I said, that's part of what I'm the good news I'm telling you, that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead. That's 2 Timothy 2:8. Jumping ahead a little bit to insert it there. That's right, yeah. And he used it here after he was sent to all people and before he was, when he was still in a dispensation of the gospel and the Jews were still in a work, Habakkuk 1:5 work, that God was providing Greeks to make them jealous, to provoke them so that some would be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word, now right there, you know, if you don't finish it, it could sound like, well, let's see, we've got the rosary, we've got steeples on churches, we've got, you know, you got to finish it, though. Put it all together. He's not talking about those kind of traditions. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Paul is talking about what the traditions that he gave them to have faith in God, to believe the gospel of God, who Jesus is, to spread the word, to love others, to forgive others. All the, you know, there's a lot beyond. What is 2:10? Ephesians 2:10. I can't think of it, but that applies, I think. Let me just get it up here. As long as I brought it up, it says, "For we are His workmanship." He's worked on us. He's the one that produces the work. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works we do are what Christ created us to do. And we couldn't do it before He made us into good workers, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's not a matter of, you know, that might have been, I don't think that gentleman earlier, or person earlier, was interested in a real answer, but that would answer that too. Does God want lawbreakers, or whatever you were saying? So, hold those traditions you've been taught by our epistle. In other words, not man's traditions, but the traditions that God revealed to Paul for us. Study, preach, keep the unity, forgive others, you know, gracious speech. The verse tells us to stick together with the Word of God and with fellow believers. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. The tradition came from Paul, from Christ. So stay in the Word of God, fellowship together, and withdraw from the disorderly. And notice how often Paul emphasizes the importance of sticking with his doctrine, his traditions, his preaching, his gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." He's doing it again. "Which I preached unto you." He did it before. "I preached unto you. Which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you." Talking about the importance of what he said, what he preached, the gospel he gave. "Unless you believed in vain." It's vain to believe, well, Peter's gospel, James's gospel, Matthew's gospel. He says, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you," that's true salvation, and that's being saved, not believing something in vain. 2 Timothy 2:2, familiar verse. That's our sending, isn't it? "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," we hear it every time we read Romans through Philemon, "the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Let's go to 2 Timothy on the same idea here of passing it on. 2 Timothy 1:14, next in line. "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you." In other words, in us, excuse me. In other words, don't try to keep these traditions in a fleshly way, you know, by guts and determination, and you have to keep that good thing, the faith that he was talking about earlier, and these traditions, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee. So, and that's the good thing that he's talking about too, is those things. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians 3:2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Well, that matches what Paul said in his summary of what he had written to the Romans, when he said, now to him that is excuse me, let me just get it in front of me so I get the right wording. 16:25, now to him that is a power to establish you, make you stable and unable to be knocked off your position. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not according to Israel's doctrine, not according to the kingdom that was being offered at that time. And what is the preaching? What is it about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? What does it do? It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's why it's so important to start off when you're talking to somebody about salvation or about the Bible, you have to correct those centuries of misinformation that's been given. That, you know, you got to do better. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know, that doesn't involve us. That involves Israel when they're brought back. It's not, our gospel is not Israel's gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written to Israel and about Israel. It's when Paul was saved in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus that we get the revelation of the mystery and our gospel. And that's why it's so important we have to show them. You know, I was thinking today, why doesn't the Bible say, compare the two different ways and say that we're supposed to follow this instead of that? And I realized it does. Look at, that's that's the reason why Galatians 1:11 is before Galatians 1:12. Look what it says. In 11 it says, I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. You know, Second Corinthians 5:16 touches on it, but it's a little awkward, and if you're trying to use it with someone, it's a little awkward language or word order. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. That was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, his fleshly, earthly ministry to Israel, fulfilling the promises that God made to Israel and to Israel only. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. It doesn't say we know him after the Spirit or after the mystery, but that's what it's saying, and that's what it's talking about. That's all that's left for it to be. So, before Paul says in Galatians 1:12, for I neither received... Well, let me get it here. He says he received it by the revelation of Christ. And before that he says, the gospel that was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, like Peter, like James, like any of the 12 apostles, Thomas, Philip, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we need to show that preaching Jesus Christ according to that revelation. Charts are valid. Charts, time charts help open a person's mind to see that their salvation isn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's nothing in there that addresses Gentiles and says you can be saved this way. It's only in Paul's writings. So let's get back to the text in 2 Timothy 1:15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. Again, and I've said it before, wouldn't you like to have had that opportunity? And people look at that for centuries later and see this guy, his name was Onesiphorus, and his household refreshed the apostle Paul, not being ashamed of him. So being refreshed and giving refreshment, comfort to others, that's a part of propagating Paul's gospel and the body of Christ churches. Verse 17, but when he was, talking about Onesiphorus still, when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. 18, and the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So not only refreshing each other, but also ministering to each other, serving, supplying. It helps to propagate Paul's gospel, Paul's doctrine, Paul's the churches that he set up, and the traditions that Paul gave us. Traditions, many of them being practices, loving others, forgiving others, things like that. Not so much going through the motions, sign of a cross or something like that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've gotten through the first. We'll be closing down here in a few minutes. But want to finish, get to a stopping point here. 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you probably don't understand grace. You'll be asking questions about the law and how much we can get away with. Or else trying to be real devotional and saying God doesn't want, doesn't it please God if we keep the law? Had one Seventh-day Adventist come to the house with that pitch. God wants us to keep the law, or he wouldn't have given it. All these arguments. Just remember Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Why not? You're not under the law. You're under grace, not the law. So not only does grace teach us, as in Titus 2:11-12, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to live soberly, righteously, godly, looking for the blessed hope. So not only does grace teach us, but here we see that grace strengthens us. It strengthens us too. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, well, for us, that's Romans through Philemon, isn't it? That's what we've heard. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. It's there again. You have heard it of me. It's my gospel. the traditions by word or by our epistle, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that which I preached unto you in 1 Corinthians 15, all these references to the same thing. It's over and over and over. It's so important. That's the emphasis of what he's saying here. Are we starting to see the pattern there? 2 Timothy 2:2, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. So it's passing from Paul to share the gospel and to preach the Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's passing from him to the next generation, to Timothy, and then the next, and it comes down to us as we read Paul's epistles and are saved and pass it on to others. And those others also, they become faithful men passing it on. That's the propagation that goes on that Paul's introducing here or emphasizing as his last letter, last epistle. And what about those faithful men? Timothy is a good example of faithful men. Look in Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Well, doesn't that sound just like 1 Thessalonians 3, the first two verses? Look, it says, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. That's what they needed. They had already heard the gospel of God and believed. They were believers in the gospel of God, who Jesus is. But they weren't saved yet. So Paul was going to send Timotheus. Well, here in Philippi, he's writing to the Philippians, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you. We can be and we need to be trustworthy people that can be sent out on these missions or projects. We can help others, whether it's, well, all these things we've already mentioned. He says, to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with his with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And that's what Paul was sending Timothy to Thessalonica for there in those verses we read in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. How different that is than Paul saying, when I was there in Acts 17, I preached unto you the gospel of God. He said that three times there. In chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, but you get to 3, and the his heart's desire is to find out if they believed Timothy and the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation, and were saved. And we don't need the suspense. Verses 6 and 7 tell that they did believe. They had believed. And Paul was relieved to hear it. He hadn't heard it by chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. When he sat down to write it, he had heard it. But as the progress of time goes along, he hadn't. So I'm done for today. Comments. I saw some good comments going by there in text and couldn't take my mind off what I was trying to say, or I would have lost the whole train of thought. But thank you all for commenting in text. That's great.